Gracious Father, may your word be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and your glory our great concern. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Amen. American Airlines pilot Angelo Keane, not his real name, had just returned from a week-long mission with his church in Costa Rica. He was all fired up, super keen to share the good news of salvation in Jesus with as many people as he could. The only question was how. Back at work, Captain Keane had a brilliant idea. As Flight 34 took off from LAX heading for JFK Airport in New York, the captain welcomed his passengers over the PA and announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, would the Christians on board today please identify themselves by raising their hand?" Captain Keane then urged the rest of the passengers to use the 4 hours left them in the flight to discuss Christianity with those who had identified themselves. And he added that he too would be keen to discuss the faith with any who were interested. I suppose you can do that while you're flying a plane. I don't know. Anyway, the response, needless to say, was not what Captain Keane had hoped for. Passenger Amanda Nilligan recalls that in the course of his announcement, Captain Keane had called the non-Christians crazy for not believing in Christ. And his words, she said, felt like a threat. The reaction of others was similar. In the wake of the September 11 attacks, people were worried that this might be a veiled warning. Become a Christian now, because I'm in charge of the plane. Fearing the worst, several tried to call family members before the crew assured them that everything would be okay. And of course, everything was fine. Angelo Keane just wanted his captive audience to know about Jesus. But later, an American Airlines spokesperson said Captain Keane's announcement, and I quote, "falls along the lines of a personal level of sharing that may not be appropriate for one of our employees to do while on the job," which you might agree is something of an understatement. Well, we are doing a series on a mission from God, looking at how God has made us to love and worship him with our whole lives, and he has invited us as his people to share in his mission to make his name known and worshipped. And at St. George's, we speak about this as we as a church have been called to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ. And I've been looking at different ways that we can contribute to God's mission in his world, in our prayers, as we pray for the needs of the world, and we pray particularly for people to come to know Christ and for the work of the good news, the work of the church around the world. As we partner with God in his mission through our finances, giving to the work of ministry, and as we make the good news of Jesus beautiful by living the lives that God calls us to, doing all the good that he's made us to do. Oh, I have a slide for this. There we go. Today, we are looking at how we might go about sharing the good news of Jesus with our lips, what is often called evangelism. And that word comes from the Greek word for the gospel or good news. The first, the prefix, euangelion. Eu is good, angelion is message. Turn that into a verb, you get evangelism. And last week, we looked at what the gospel is, what we might share, and this week we're looking at how. And the question is, I suppose, are we meant to do a Captain Keane? Does God call us to an inappropriate level of personal sharing? Well, as much as I find awkward social situations somewhat amusing, I don't think that is quite what the scriptures have in mind when they call us to share our faith. But that, if you like, context of inappropriate personal sharing It alerts us to the fact that we speak in a context. And it's worth us thinking about our cultural context. In Australia, in Australian culture by and large, faith is something personal and private. It is not normally on the table for discussion in casual conversation. Now, I have to say, this is in contrast to many other cultures. Lots of other cultures around the world, religion is the most interesting thing that you can talk about. Everyone talks about it all the time. So we are something of an anomaly, but nevertheless, it means that when we talk about matters of faith, it can feel like you are crossing a cultural taboo. But there's a flip side to this, and that is that people, I think, are starved for meaning and spirituality and conversations about that, because they don't get to talk about it in everyday conversation. And I have to say, I find this all the time. When people find out that I'm a minister, it's like a dam has burst and I get all the pent-up questions. So I was at a party last year and I met a gentleman who'd come to our Henry Baldwin lecture last year, and he kind of zeroed in on me. He was like, "Are you the minister from St. George's? You did that lecture?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And right, it was on. From then on, I got all these questions. And then he invited me to a Sydney to Hobart party at his house to watch the boats come in. So I went to that. I always say yes to invitations. And I discovered that I'd been invited specifically as a minister to be grilled, to get asked lots of questions. Now, I realized that comes with the job. That is not the case for most of you. But I share that just to say, I think people are hungry. People want to have these conversations. It's just that they don't know how to do that because there's a social taboo around the subject. And people cannot feel comfortable about having this kind of conversation unless they feel safe. And that means, I think, it's usually in the context of an ongoing friendship, when there's a level of trust and personal sharing, that you will find there are indeed opportunities to talk about spiritual matters. So how can we go about that? Well, our key text today gives us some great instructions. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. If you are a person who likes memorizing Bible verses, this is a great one to memorize. It's my go-to verse on how to share the faith. This is what the Apostle Peter says. "In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So I'm going to look at 2 points today. I'm going to look at point one, always being ready to give the reason for the hope that you have when people ask. That's number one. And number two, how do we do that? With gentleness and respect. So point one, always be ready to give the reason for your hope. Now, it's interesting that Peter addresses this to all Christians. Elsewhere in the New Testament, there are lists of gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some are called to be pastors, teachers, prophets, and evangelists. Now, that's not everyone there. Not everyone's a pastor or a teacher or a prophet. And not everyone is called to be an evangelist, if you like. But here Peter says, everyone is called to be ready to give the reason for your hope. Now, I confess that I may have been given that role of an evangelist. When I was at school in Year 10, I had a friend from Iran come and ask me at one lunch a whole bunch of questions about the faith. And at the end of lunch, the time had gone and we had to go back to class, and I realized that I had just the most wonderful 40 minutes, And I had a deep sense of the Holy Spirit being at work in that conversation. And since then, I've been thinking about how to share the faith. I've been reading about it, doing training things, all sorts of stuff. It fills a lot of my brain space. So I think that might be what the Holy Spirit kind of caused me to do, amongst other things. And I realized, you know, I've been given this gig recently about going on the radio most weeks to represent Christ and be sharing some wisdom from the scriptures there. And that's not everyone's call, right? But everyone is called to be ready to give a reason for the hope that they have. But I recognize this is difficult. We find it hard. And I think there are two reasons, or two key reasons for that. Number one is we don't know what to say. And I want to tell you, you don't need to have all the answers. That's what church is for. We do this together. You can just be real. Share what you do know and the difference that God makes in your life. But number two, you can also get to know more of the Bible. You can read books. You can get equipped so you are more prepared, so you are ready when someone asks you a question. And a great book I've recently read is this book, How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy by Sam Chan. I'm guessing Sam has in mind Captain Keen as that guy. Anyway, this is a great book. It's very short. There's 8 really practical tips for how you might share your faith. And we looked a little bit at this last week, didn't we, with our summary of the good news. Can anyone remember, I gave 2 summaries last week. Can anyone remember what one of them was? Any ideas? Yes, Joe? Pray. Yes, that's helpful. Yep, pray, care, and share. That was a method, yes. What was the summary of the gospel? Can anyone remember?
Cradle, cross, and crown.
Yeah, that's right. Cradle, cross, and crown. Remembering Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection and ascension. God has come amongst us in the person of Christ, that he's died for our sins, and that he's rose again in victory to establish his kingdom that will never end. There's a little gospel summary. The second one was the Apostles' Creed. And hopefully you remember that because we say it pretty regularly at church. That's a great summary. Anyway, there you go. So that's number one. We don't know what to say. You can work on that. Number two, I think, is fear. We're afraid. Very interesting, the context where Peter wrote these words, for always being ready, was one where the early church was being persecuted for their faith. Peter writes about, if you suffer for doing good, you're blessed. Now, we don't face that kind of level of threat to us, although Christians in other parts of the world do. But we do face significant social pressure to stay quiet about our faith. We may be afraid of social stigma, of being called a bigot or some other insult. We have, all of us want to fit in, we want to be liked, and so we can be afraid of standing out. We might be afraid of saying something awkward, of killing the conversation, or just people think we're strange or stupid. Well, what does Peter say to encourage us here? In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Revere Christ as Lord. Our primary allegiance is to Jesus. He is our Lord. He's with us. His opinion of us is the only one that really matters. And what's more, he is at work through the Holy Spirit, even when we can't see it. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts people's hearts and brings them to a knowledge of the truth. And he is at work so we can have confidence when we speak. We can have confidence to speak as we trust him. Well, what are we to say? Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now that may be the story of how you came to faith in the first place. Why was it that you first believed? It may be the story of what keeps you in the faith, why you keep on believing. It may be about what you hope for in Christ, that in him you have forgiveness. My goodness, what a blessing. That in him death is not the end because he rose again from the dead. That in him there is a hope for this broken and hurting world because he will one day come and make all things new and bring in his kingdom of justice and peace. These are reasons you can give for hope. And I love in our gospel reading, we actually see someone doing just that. We kind of stepped in at the end of the story of this Samaritan woman. She'd met Jesus at a well, at Jacob's well in Samaria, that had this amazing conversation. Her life is a bit of a mess, but in Jesus she had found the source of living water. And what does she do? She goes back to her village and tells everyone about Jesus. Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. It's a pretty interesting story of how she came to faith. You might you could say it's a bit confronting, that one. And yet, her neighbors and friends come and see. They meet Jesus. And what do they say? We came because you told us, but now we have seen and heard for ourselves, and we believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's a wonderful picture of her sharing what Jesus has done, the hope that she has. Well, that's point one, always being ready to share the reason for our hope. How do we go about that, though? Well, Peter tells us, do this with gentleness and respect so that no one can accuse you of doing wrong. The manner of how we speak about Christ is just as important as what we say. Now, I have not always been good at this. When I was at university, one of the training things we did for sharing our faith was doing walk-up evangelism, where you go and just talk to people on the university campus. If you like, it is it's breaking all those taboos that I talked about earlier. I don't think it's a particularly effective method of sharing your faith, but it does give you lots of practice. Anyway, I remember meeting this guy, having a chat, and our conversation quickly turned into a shouting match. It was awful. I had forgotten that my job was not to win the argument, but to win the person. And I went away feeling terrible. I had totally forgotten what Peter says here, to speak about Jesus with gentleness and respect. I had been neither gentle nor respectful. And I went away praying that he would meet some other Christians who actually did what Jesus said and were kind and gentle and respectful, and he'd forget all about what a jerk I had been. Well, the Apostle Paul has very similar advice in Colossians. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So interesting, isn't it, that he says, he begins with being wise in the way you act. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Making the gospel beautiful as we live and do all the good that God calls us to do. That's the first part. Peter puts it like this earlier in the letter. Live in harmony. Be sympathetic. love others, be compassionate and humble. You live like that, you'll be living a life worth questioning. A life where people will see the difference that Jesus makes in your life. And then you can have the opportunity to make the most of the opportunity. To have conversations full of grace, both gracious in how you conduct yourself, but also that seasoned with the salt of the gospel, the good news. So always being ready to give the reason for the hope you have when people ask, and doing this with gentleness and respect. I want to finish by offering a few practical tips on how we might go about doing this. We've been, as Joe said, using a particular model from a UK evangelist, Jay John, who did a seminar here some years ago. I really enjoyed it. And the steps he talks about are pray, care, share, and I'm going to add invite to the end there. We've talked about prayer, praying for your friends, for their needs, for God to be at work in their lives, for opportunities to share with them. But then it's also that second step of caring, of actually just being a friend, being hospitable, loving your neighbour, sharing your life with them. Sharing about yourself and listening to them, asking questions so that you get to know them and what makes them tick. Well, I wanted to share a story as well about how you might go about a conversation. And that's actually from last week when I came here for church. Jenny came up to me and said, who I think is our oldest member here. Are you 90 this year, Jenny? Is that right? There we go. Look at this. So, tips from old hands. So Jenny came up to me and said, Victor, I've got to tell you a story. I was on the bus the other day and I was talking with somebody on the bus and I found out that they enjoy reading novels, and then which I enjoy as well. And then I already knew that. So I'm adding that to the conversation for your benefit. And then I found out they like Tim Winton. And so I told them the story that you told us about how Tim Winton and his family met Jesus when his dad had this terrible accident as a policeman and was had this incredibly long recovery, and how his mum couldn't look after his dad. And so this guy from the local church just came over and cared for him, washed him every day. And so I just told my friend who I just met that story. Now, that's a bit of a summary of our conversation. But I just want to say, it's brilliant. And let's slow down and tease out what are some of the things that Jenny did in that conversation. Number one, she was just being friendly, just saying hello to the person next to her, getting to know them. Number two, she found a point of common ground. They both like novels. This is just how you do normal conversation with people. You get to ask some questions, get to know them, finding a point of common ground. And then you share a little story about yourself and then hand the conversation back to them where they can share something. But always looking for what's that point of connection. But then did you see what Jenny did there? She thought, I can weave a little story of the gospel in here. There's a point of common ground about Tim Winton. And I know this story. I heard it in church last week. That's it. Beautiful. Now, who knows what that conversation is going to do? We pray the Holy Spirit will water that and will bear fruit in someone's life. But that is something that each one of us can do in our conversation, weaving in bites of the gospel, little morsels, maybe one-liners or windows into your life as a Christian in your prayers or Bible or something that you learned at church, maybe sharing some wisdom from the scriptures. And if you're feeling really game, you might like to start learning some of the stories, particularly in the Gospels. Because Jesus meets all sorts of different people, and those encounters speak to different aspects of the human condition, different needs that people have. Sam Chan talks about this in his little book. I'll just give you a few examples. So here we go. If your friends are burdened by guilt and need forgiveness, you could tell them the story of Jesus and the tax collector who's justified by God. That's Luke 18. If your friends are burdened by shame and need restoration, you could tell them the story of Jesus cleansing and restoring a bleeding woman, Luke chapter 8. If your friends are enslaved by the worship of idols, you could tell them the story of Jesus inviting himself to Zacchaeus' home and setting him free from the power his wealth had over him. If your friends feel far from God, you could tell them how God the Father welcomes us as his children into his home, the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And the list goes on here. Now, of course, if you're going to do that, that means you need to get to know your Bibles, right? It's a virtuous cycle. As you read, the more you know of that, the more you will be equipped to share your faith and to introduce people to Christ. The last point I wanted to share there is invite. You might not have all the answers. You might not know what to say, but you can invite your friends and family to things that we have at church, and they can get to know others at church and meet people who might have a bit more of an answer. So that's why we've got our bookmark to be praying for four friends. It's why we put on events like pancakes, where we can show Christ-like hospitality to our friends and neighbours. It's like why we put on things like the Baldwin Lecture, giving you a topic of conversation. And even if your friends don't come, you've still got that topic to have the conversation with them, right? So these are all part of what we're trying to do to give opportunities so that your friends, your family, others can come and hear about Christ, but also see the gospel lived out amongst the church family in flesh and blood. And I'm always open for conversation. I love chatting with people, very happy to go out for a coffee, whatever you like, to share and to answer questions. I'm even happy to get grilled over a lunch. Well, let me finish with a story. John Dixon has a wonderful story in his book, The Best Kept Secret of Christian Mission, which his sermons are based on. It's about Steve, the plumber. Steve's a pretty ordinary Aussie bloke, not particularly interested in religion or anything like that. And he was going on a ride with one of his friends who happened to be a Christian. And he was talking about how Christians are real rat bags and hypocrites. And just kind of really getting stuck in to Christians. At that point, Steve's mate responded. He said, "Come on, mate. Don't go worrying about those people. God will look after them. You worry about yourself and God. That's the important thing." And they finished their ride. Now, these words powerfully affected Steve. For the rest of the day, he pondered what a hypocrite he had been to criticize these Christians when he was doing nothing himself to honor God and then bad-mouthing them for good measure. And by the evening, Steve was convinced he was the one with the spiritual problem. When he was alone, he uttered a prayer to God, an apology for ignoring him his whole life. And then the next day, Steve took himself to church, along with all the other hypocrites. And to the surprise of everyone, and especially himself, he devoted his life to Christ. The next time Steve went riding with his friend, he told him that he'd become a Christian. And he told him how much those few words had affected him. And to Steve's amazement, his friend said, "Oh, gosh, I don't even remember what I said there." So often the way, isn't it? You just say something, a little pointer to Christ, a little morsel, tidbit of the gospel, and the Holy Spirit uses that in someone's life. We don't have to say everything. We're only one link in the chain that the Holy Spirit does his wonderful work. But we are all called to give an answer when people ask us for the reason, for the hope that we have. And we do this following after the pattern of Christ with gentleness and respect. Why don't we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for the wisdom from your word about how to share our faith. But even more, we thank you for the incredible good news of Jesus. We feel ourselves so unworthy and inept in what we say, that we have the incredible treasure in ourselves, the jars of clay. So please equip us by your Holy Spirit and help us to be ready to share our faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.